In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes we chant the intro it together, and other times, like this morning, we sing an entrance hymn instead. Whether we sing the intro it or not, either way, that lies within our Christian freedom. However, if we had chosen to sing the intro it together this morning, we would have chanted these words: I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Really? Truly? Bountifully? Well, maybe we could have sung those words before the housing crash, but not now. Maybe we could have sung those words before the bottom fell out of our 401k plans, but not now. Maybe we could have sung those words before the bank took your house and the economy or the lack thereof took your job, or before you noticed that lump, that rash, that pain in your chest, before the flu bug took you down about as low as you could possibly go, before death came and stole the one you love and rudely left a calling card saying, I'll be back. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me? That doesn't seem to be telling the whole story. Ask a critic and they'll tell you it seems a little bit too much like an aloof Pollyanna. That said, here again the gospel lesson for this morning. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening, after sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases. Fevers and all that go along with them, diseases, plagues, all of it are a result of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. All of them are the consequences of sin entering the world through Adam. Now, you could blame Adam, but truthfully, if you'd been Adam, if you'd been Eve, you would have done the same thing. Adam is representative of all of humankind. And because of all that happened in Genesis chapter 3, Simon Peter's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. Told Jesus of her. Immediately. Didn't wait. Cried out in despair to him on her behalf. You've been sick. You know the feeling. You know the cry you utter when you're doubled over in pain, when you're retching your guts out, when the doctor comes in with that dour look. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, the psalmist cried. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's the right thing to do, to cry out to him from the dirty floor of this fallen valley when the dreadful shadows of sickness lengthen and bad news snuffs out hope. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. And hear our voice he does. Sees our most desperate need even when we can't recognize our real need at all. Out of the depths we cry, and into this world he comes. Jesus, the one of whom the angels sang, came he did. Not because we're such good criers, I must add, but because he is so merciful. And this day, the one who is good news for all the people came to that little town of Capernaum, Jesus, who has the whole world in his hands. And in his hand, he took the hot and sweaty hand of this sick woman and healed her. Illness and everything else that's wrong with this world and with you is the fault of sin. It's also true that the sins of all the world have been forgiven. However, it is also true that earthly consequences for our sins continue and will continue until the end of time. But because God, in His mercy, had determined to put Adam and Eve out of the garden, lest they put forth their hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, because God, in His mercy, had determined to put Adam and Eve out of the garden, our sins and their consequences, though they terribly ravage us here, will not be permitted to trouble us beyond this life. So know this, whatever you're going through, whatever disease, whatever sickness, whatever flu, your aches and pains, whatever your condition, at worst, those things will plague you only until your heart quits beating in this life. Just as God said to the sea, "Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed," so also Jesus. With the cross, Jesus drew a line in the sand of the earth and said to the things of the fall, "Thus far you shall come and no farther." Taking Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, Jesus raised her from the death of fever to life. To life, he raised lepers and women with terrible hemorrhages, paralytics, the blind and the lame and the deaf. In our text, that evening after sundown, after he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases. So the question begs to be asked, is there a promise from God that it will be so for me today or tomorrow? I'm faithful. Will the consequences of the fall disappear from my life like the fever did for Peter's mother-in-law and all those people whom Jesus healed that night? The faith healers say, yes, if you buy a ticket and come to the crusade we're holding at the Colosseum. The faith healers say, yes. The scripture says, not necessarily. Could you be healed? Of course. From everything from the flu to cancer. He might choose to do something miraculous. Or he might just let the amazing immune system he created do its work. Or he might use the vocations of a whole medical team to treat you successfully. He might, and he might not. But will I ever get well? You ask. And the answer to that one is yes. Yes. For again, at the cross, Jesus drew a line in the sand of the earth and said, "Thus far you shall come and no farther." You will enter paradise without them. Your faith has made you well. The faith the Holy Spirit of God has worked in your heart has saved you forever. A billionaire dies. And at the funeral, someone asks his accountant, "How much did he leave behind?" And the accountant takes a look inside the casket and says, "All of it. He left all of it behind." changing that a bit, a Christian, plagued by many diseases and much suffering, dies. At the funeral, someone asks, "How much did he leave behind?" And his pastor answers, "All of it. He left all of it behind." Left all of what? All of it. Double pneumonia. Cancers of all kinds. The tragic effects from strokes. Congestive heart failure. Lesions and tumors. Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Da Nang fever, spinal bifida, zits and acne, scoliosis, kidney stones, bladder infections, slipped discs, clogged carotid arteries, cardiac scarring, high blood pressure, broken bones, and broken hearts as well, miscarriages, sleep apnea, cirrhosis, eczema, leukemia, diabetes, ADHD, HIV, AIDS, and ALS, atrial fibrillation, balance issues, near and far sightedness, hammer toes and ingrown toenails, fibromyalgia, head and stomach aches, West Nile virus, Crohn's disease, obesity, anorexia, bulimia, arthritis, neuropathy, and there might be a few others. These and all the others defeated by the cross. Defeated by the cross that defeated sin, death, and Satan. And they will be left behind. And in the resurrection, the Lord God shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's what Paul told the Philippians. Those who drank a fifth of vodka every day of their life, those who ate way too much fast food, those who covered themselves with baby oil and laid out on the beach for years, some afflictions are our own grievous fault, and others aren't. Brain hemorrhages, salmonella poisoning, and the list goes on and on and on. Whatever the severity, whatever the source or situation, the things we go through are reminders that we live in a fallen, broken world that will someday come to its end. Come to this thought before your bad days come. The terrible things that happen are what they are. They are terrible. God knows that. Christ Jesus, your Lord, suffered so that those things will not follow you forever. They are also, and understand me rightly, they are also visitations allowed by God. Not as some sort of tit for tat, this affliction for that sin, and not because God is in a punishing mood. If that were true, if the trials we go through were God punishing us, then first, none of us would be here today. And second, if you think about it, God's got a pretty bad aim. As the psalmist says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost stumbled, my steps nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." If sickness, fever, and disease are specific punishments, then the wrong people get it. God's got a bad aim. The righteous suffer. The wicked prosper. No. The punishment was borne by the one who carried the cross. Jesus. Not you. Not me. The terrible things that happen are visitations allowed by God, given to remind us that this is indeed a broken, fallen world in which we live. Sometimes those reminders whisper in our ears, and other times they scream. but whisper or shout. They are messengers of the law in a world that's dying. Whether it's dying of fever and headache or stage 4 cancer. What drives out disease and fever is not some exorcist or some man on a stage who drives out demons and devils to order. What drives out disease and devils is the truth of the gospel. The truth that for our sake, and because He loved us first, Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth over disease and demon, came from heaven to earth. Took your sins and mine as His very own, and being the one caught holding the bag full of sin in His own bag of bones, suffered and died on Calvary's cross for you, in your place, because He carries your sins. And having paid the price, He was raised from the dead, having disarmed all principalities and powers, having taken away the curse of the law, and by the declaration of the Father, all that belongs to Jesus, His holy righteousness is counted as yours. And for Christ's sake and His alone, the Father counts you worthy. Worthy. Because Christ's righteousness has been credited to you. Not because of what you've done or will do or anything like that, but because of what Christ has done for you. Now, does that mean that if I am a Christian, I won't get sick? No. We live in a fallen, broken world. If I'm really a Christian, does that mean that the devil will leave me alone? No. He will work all the harder on you. Does that mean I am defenseless then? Not at all. For us fights the valiant one who holds the field forever, Luther wrote in his hymn, A Mighty Fortress. The victory isn't off in the future yet to be won. The victory has already been won on Calvary's cross. Perhaps you can, at times in your life, relate to Job when he cried in despair, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope." But it doesn't have to be that way for you, and it wasn't that way in the end for Job either. Our lives don't come to an end without hope, even if there still is sickness and things don't go right for us. No, our hope is in the resurrection. We can sing in the face of Satan and all that comes to us in this fallen world. We can say with Isaiah, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." And because in our baptisms, we were buried with Christ, no matter what, as St. Paul says, our lives, with whatever's going on, are safe, hid with Christ in God. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Really? Truly? Yes. Really. Truly. In the name of Jesus. Amen.